نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى.
We narrate to you their true story. They were a party of young men who had faith in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance. We narrate to you their true story. The earliest evidence of this story is found in the sermons of the Christian priest James of Sarug, a work which is in Syriac. He was born a few years after the death of the people of the cave in 452 CE, and he compiled his sermons around 474 CE. This Syriac account reached the commentators of the Quran, and this explains why Ibn Jarir al-Tabari reproduced it in his commentary under different chains of transmission. The same account reached Europe and was subsequently translated and summarized in Greek and Latin. Edward Gibbon provided a summarized version of the story based on these sources under the title The Seven Sleepers in his Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Gibbon's account is so closely similar to the reports found in the works of the Muslim commentators of the Quran that both seem to have drawn on the same Sahih tradition. For example, the king who persecuted the people of the cave, forcing them to retire to the cave, is called Dakyanus, or Dakyanus, or Dakyos in Muslim sources. According to Gibbon, his name was Decius, and he ruled over the Roman Empire from 249 CE to 251 CE. His reign was notorious for the persecution of the followers of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. The city where the incident took place is called Afsus or Afsos in Muslim sources, while Gibbon names it as Ephesus, which was the largest town and a famous Roman port on the western coast of Asia Minor. The ruins of this town can be found at a distance of some 20 to 25 miles from the present-day Turkish town and seaport of Izmir, Smyrna. Moreover, the emperor during whose reign the people of the cave woke up is referred to as Tadusis in Muslim sources, while according to Gibbon, the event took place during the reign of Theodosius II, who ruled over Rome from 408 to 450 CE, after the Roman Empire's adoption of Christianity as its official religion. The two accounts resemble each other so closely that the person sent to town to bring food is called Yamlika by Muslims and Yamlikas by Gibbon. The story in all its details is common to both sources. In its bare outline, the story mentions that while the disciples of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, were persecuted during the rule of Decius, the seven youths of Ephesus retired to the cave and finally woke up in the 38th year of the emperor Theodosius, for instance, in 445 or 446 CE, at a time when the entire Roman Empire had already embraced Christianity. According to this account, they remained in the cave for about 196 years. Some Orientalists have, however, cast doubt on the Quranic version on the ground that the Quran specifies the period of their stay to be 309 years. The Syriac and Quranic versions of the story differ in certain respects. Gibbon had the temerity to dub the Prophet, peace be upon him, as ignorant on account of these differences. This is bold indeed of Gibbon, who himself recognizes the Syriac work to have been composed by someone in Syria some 30 or 40 years after the event. It is evident that oral traditions usually undergo changes in the process of transmission from one land to another. Gibbon's judgment would have made some sense had the Syriac account been fully authentic and reliable, but we know that this is not the case. Hence the insistent contention that if the Quranic account varies to any extent from the Syriac account, the Quran must be wrong, can only behove those whose religious bigotry has totally overwhelmed them. They were a party of young men who had faith in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance. When these youths became sincere men of faith, God enhanced their guidance and enabled them to faithfully adhere to the truth. This also gave them the strength to prefer courting all kinds of dangers as opposed to timidly surrendering before the forces of falsehood.
وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَّدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَٰهًا لَّن نَّدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَٰهًا لَّقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا.
and strengthened their hearts when they stood up and proclaimed, "Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We shall call upon no other God beside Him. For if we did so, we shall be uttering a blasphemy."
هَٰؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَّوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِم بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ فَمَن أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَىٰ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا.
Then they conferred among themselves and said, "These men, our own people, have taken others as gods beside him. Why do they not bring any clear evidence that they indeed are gods? Who can be more unjust than he who foists a lie on Allah?"
وَإِذِ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُم مِّن رَّحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُم مِّنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِّرْفَقًا.
And now that you have disassociated yourselves from them and from whatever they worship beside Allah, go and seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will extend His mercy to you and will provide for you the means for the disposal of your affairs. And now that you have disassociated yourselves from them and from whatever they worship beside Allah, go and seek refuge in the cave. At the time when these devout youths had to flee from the towns and take shelter in the mountains, the town of Ephesus was a major center of idolatry and magic in Asia Minor. The splendid temple to the goddess Diana, which then adorned the town, was famous the world over. It attracted devotees from far-flung places who took part in rites of worship there. The sorcerers, soothsayers, and amulet writers of Ephesus were well known. Theirs was a flourishing business all over Syria, Palestine, and Egypt. The Jews, who attributed their skill in this field to the Prophet Solomon, peace be upon him, also had an important share in this business. The plight of righteous people in this atmosphere, an atmosphere charged with polytheism and superstition, was summed up in the following remark about the people of the cave: "For if they should come upon us, they will stone us to death or force us to revert to their faith." Al-Kahf 18:20.
وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْهُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ مَن يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَن يُضْلِلْ فَلَن تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا.
Had you looked at them in the cave, it would have appeared to you that when the sun rose, it moved away from their cave to the right, and when it set, it turned away from them to the left, while they remained in a spacious hollow in the cave. This is one of the signs of Allah. Whomsoever Allah guides, he alone is led aright. And whomsoever Allah lets go astray, you will find for him no guardian to direct him. Have you looked at them in the cave? In the course of this narration, mention of the youth's collective decision to take refuge in a cave in this mountainous region, such that they might avoid being subjected to lapidation or compelled apostasy, has been omitted. It would have appeared to you that when the sun rose, it moved away from their cave to the right, and when it set, it turned away from them to the left, while they remained in a spacious hollow in the cave. The mouth of their cave faced north, thus preventing sunlight from entering it no matter what the season, the result being that the cave remained dark and it was impossible for any passerby to observe the inmates of the cave from outside.